Welcome to My University Life podcast series. These podcast series are brought to you by the Student Advice Centre here in DCU. They aim to explore how students can flourish at university.
Welcome to our podcast on self-awareness and becoming self-aware. I'm Orla Stafford, Human Resources Student Officer, and I'm based in the Student Advice Centre. Today, I'm joined by Helena Hearn, the Head of Counselling and Personal Development in DCU. I'd like to take a moment just to say thank you to Helena for giving us her time. She's a very busy lady and we're so glad to have her input today. We could think of nobody better when this topic came up for us. So we're delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us. So could you just start off by telling us a little bit about what do you mean? What do we mean when we're talking about self-awareness?
It's a great question, Orla. So when we talk about self-awareness, another word for it might be observation, you know, observing ourselves and our environment. So I'm sitting here talking with you, and then there's a part of me aware I'm sitting here talking to you. So that's our level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's always with us, and everybody has that. It's like a knowing I'm sitting here talking to you. So if you were to imagine it like a ball of energy inside, like a light, and it's knowing, oh, I am sitting here talking to Orla about self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So that is what we mean when we talk about self-awareness.
Okay. Why is it important to be self-aware? Why do we have to focus on that?
That's a great question. So it determines really what we see, what we know, what we observe, what we take in. And as a result of that, our awareness is informed by what we see and know, smell, and what we observe. And then that determines our interpretation of what's happening. That determines our response, our action. So when we take awareness, it's very linked to what we identify with. So okay. I might say, I'm Helena and I work in DCU and I'm interested in self-awareness. So these are all things I know about myself. Or if I was a student, I might say, I'm a final year student, I'm an undergraduate, and I come from Galway. It all is very known to us. We're aware of it. So what also is operating here is that there are things that we don't identify with so readily, that we're not so aware of, that we kind of maybe sort of aware of, or we don't want to be aware of it at all. We might kind of go, oh gosh, that's something I push out to the margins.
Sure.
Now, you see, the problem with that is that that means we don't identify with it, and that means we're not fully aware of what might be happening at any given moment. And this is why it's important to know that there's things I identify with and there's other things on a whole continuum I don't, which informs our awareness. And why that's important is, and this is why we call our service personal development as well as counselling, is that as we increase our ability to take in the things that we tend to marginalise or we avoid it for some reason because we're afraid of it, or we reject it because we have a value system against it, we only have a certain amount of the picture. Therefore, then our response or our reaction or our response to something is only going to be determined by what we allow in. So why it's important knowing that is that when we work on ourselves, we can broaden our awareness or broaden our consciousness to taking in the things that we might move away from, find challenging, find difficult, or we might be afraid of them. certain aspects. And while that's very normal and understandable, it does then kind of skew our ability to respond to something as effectively as we might.
Okay, yeah, that's so interesting.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's interesting hearing you mention there, when we start to work on ourselves or we start to look to think about it becoming more aware. Could you talk a little bit about how we could become more aware?
Yeah. So the area between what we identify with and are comfortable with and familiar, and we say, I am this and I have that. Take that one layer. And the next layer outside of that, things we don't like or we reject. In between those two territories or those two circles is what's called an edge. If we were to call it something, we'd call it an edge territory.
Okay.
The edge territory, even though it can be challenging and difficult and somewhat scary, it could be exciting too.
Yes, yes.
At once we go out to that edge territory and we can make ourselves a little bit more comfortable, develop our skills and awareness and kind of go, well, now I'm just at an edge. So it's not the end of the world. This is very normal. It happens to all human beings in the world. We all have many edges. The beauty of knowing that as a map, it makes it less scary and it normalizes it. And it's going to go, I'm just outside my comfort zone a little bit at the moment. And it's all right. And the good thing about it is if I can manage to tolerate being out in that territory, I have an opportunity to grow as a person. And I have an opportunity to expand my awareness out, to embrace and to learn about the things that I might find, oh, very difficult, somewhat difficult to embrace. And that's the territory of personal development.
Yes, yes. We would find in the Student Advice Centre and working with mature students as well, having considered coming to college, sometimes for some people, it's a very automatic decision, perhaps based from something from the outside, an external influence, like maybe a career guidance teacher or results from one of the tests that you're taking, telling you you are good at. So, you know, you can do that. You'll be an accountant. You'll be, you know, a solicitor. And with mature students, sometimes they can fall into they've been told all their life that this is what they're good at. So it's very interesting when we think of college really does present a lot of opportunities for us to pause and have a look and, you know, to go to that edge and to consider that.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not a fault game, or it's not something a person has done wrong. It just means that society has conditioned us in a way, identify in a certain way. And then when you enter into college and come to DCU, for example, you're given all these ranges of different possibilities, and you might find, or a student might find, my goodness, I never thought of that. That's not me. I've never done anything like that before. When you find yourself in that kind of narrative, you know you're at an edge.
Yes. And as you said, it's an exciting place.
Just
I'm talking to students, sometimes I think that the excitement of I'm changing and becoming aware of that, there can also be that slight nervousness about, well, who am I now then if I'm not who I, you know, thought I was going to be? Or even when they pause to say, well, I'm here by myself, because a lot of students we would find coming into us saying, sometimes I haven't made any friends or I haven't bonded. And sometimes when we're chatting to them, we realize it's because it's the first time they're out of their comfort zone, where they've perhaps moved away from home and they're away from their friends, which was their identity. That's how they were identifying. And then they move away and it can feel a bit of a lack. But in fact, if we try and, through that personal development you're talking about, almost turn that on its head and approach the edge with caution, but with an excitement. Would you agree?
That is exactly it, Orla. That captures it in a nutshell. So it's like when we say, oh gosh, this isn't me, or how come this isn't happening? It is like, then you know from the map that, as you rightly said, I'm at an edge. And it's sometimes edges are collective edges. So a lot of first-year students might collectively have the same kind of nervousness, the same fears. They may or may not talk about it necessarily, but it's a shared edge. Some edges are shared like that. And then over time, as you negotiate that edge by gently going over it. Now, there's different ways of navigating the edge. Some people like to plan it and break down something bit by bit. So they say, okay, let's say hello to somebody just next to me and we'll see, we'll take that step. And then you might see the person again at coffee and you might nod the head. And then the next time you see them at lecture, you might have a wee chat. So it builds up slowly. And in that way, you're actually negotiating the edge. You're going over it, each little step. Mm-hmm. Some people just like to jump in. And they kind of go, oh, sure, listen, I'm just going to take the bull by the horns and deal with it right now. And that's another way. There's no right or wrong way to negotiate the edge, but that's different ways of doing it. Other people like to have a friend. So we're going to a lecture. So they might find it easier to go with somebody that they have made a little connection with. And then not only do their relationship grow, but the actual experience of going to lectures becomes a little easier. And it's kind of like this is, becomes more normal. And when you feel you're becoming a little bit more comfortable, that territory on the outside, which is less known and a bit scary, comes into your awareness and you feel a little bit more comfortable. And as a result, your self-awareness has expanded and you as a person has grown. Mm-hmm. So that's like you feel once you've done something a few times, it becomes easier. And that's the reason why it becomes easier. But if you move away from something like the edge, the harder it becomes because you come back into your comfort zone. And you might find temporary relief, but then you won't feel so good about yourself. And you have, no, really, actually, I do have to deal with this technology problem one way or the other.
Yes.
You might have to bring in some help and you might have to scream at the computer and go, ah! And then you might go, okay, let's see if I can break this down. And once you've achieved that slowly or bit by bit, then you feel good about yourself because you have managed to negotiate the edge. In other words, you've achieved something and therefore your identity broadens out and you feel better in yourself.
It's so interesting. And considering when I'm thinking back to maybe the last few students that I've been speaking to and even mentioned there, the collective, it is so common to feel like that. It's so common to suddenly think, what is going on for me? And in, particularly in first year, that time, so much change. It's even more important that we do look at ourselves and look at what's influencing us and what are we incorporating and bringing into that little inner circle, you know, as we reach out and see other things. I'm thinking as well that as we do reach out with that, would you have a word of kind of a caution or is there anything to be aware of as we move towards becoming more self-aware or exposing ourselves to different opportunities that could give us some development?
One thing to be aware of on the edge is that there's often what operates is what's called an edge figure. So an edge figure will sometimes tell us all the reasons why we shouldn't do X or Y, or that we can't do this. You can't do that. This is not you. You're no good at that. This isn't your forte. Somebody else is much better at that. Or I'm not good enough to do this. or I was always told I wasn't good at that. So, yeah. So it's good to be aware that that's an edge figure. And the figure almost like is a gatekeeper to give you all the reasons why you shouldn't do something or you can't do something. So it's good to know that that's quite typical and that sometimes we just have to have a little negotiation with that edge figure. And we could have a little inner dialogue with it and say, you're not really helping me very much. Or I don't like the way you're talking to me. So listen, we have to work out a better way to work together because I really do need to work on this assignment. And you telling me all the reasons why I can't do it, or I had a little setback because I didn't pass the last assignment or I got a poor grade. And the edge figure would use that against us, you know, say, mm-hmm. Oh, you weren't good at that. See there now. So it's good to be able to resource ourselves when we're in that area. So it's like taking a few deep breaths, 2 feet on the ground, noticing your thinking problems. You might feel nervous, your tummy might get tight, or you might blank out. These are typical experiences that happen at the edge. So it's to build up a kindness towards ourselves when we're there and to realize that this is something, these kind of experiences are very typical at the edge and they can be negotiated and they're normal. And we can say, you know, how can we work it out in a better way? So encouragement, sometimes we have to challenge ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Enough of that now, I'm just doing this now. Forget it. I'm not going to pay any more attention to all the reasons why I can't do it. And I'm just going to do it. And sometimes that's helpful because sometimes if we negotiate too much with the edge, we get completely frozen and we can't move forward or backwards. We're just caught like something in a headlight straight. Mm-hmm. So we can get frozen or we could take flight, in other words, I'll do it tomorrow, or I can't do it today, I'll do it next week. Plenty of time, I'll do it next week. And then next week comes. So that's flight, or we withdraw. Completely, I'm not going to do this at all and close down. So that kind of, or if we get into a major fight with that edge figure, it can drain our energy. So this is where sometimes being aware of, hold a second, let's take a few breaths. Let's break this down. Let's see if I can get some support. Can I get somebody else here in here to help me? Can I just ignore the edge figure? Or if it keeps going on, leave it go on, but you proceed ahead as best you can. Make small steps. And often you'll find, I'm sure you'll find this too, Orla, in your work with students, that you know, once you start that assignment that we have built up as an awful kind of project, actually, once we start to get into it, it actually, you'd often hear people say, you know, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, absolutely. We hear it all the time. We hear that all the time. That fear in our heads versus the reality when we put it out there, that I come to college, but I don't know anybody or I won't be good enough. And then when we get there, and we say that back to the student, you told me this. Oh, no, it's fine. It's not as bad as I thought it was. So that's so true. It's so, so true. As soon as we get that fear out of our heads and we put it out there and we test it, a lot of the time we do turn around and discover it's not that bad. Is there any, I'm conscious now that if anybody's listened to this now and they're thinking, I'd like to know a little bit more, Is there any area that you think they should be reading up on or looking at, or is there any advice that you would have, any resources, things like that?
Mm. So we have a number of resources available in the Counseling and Personal Development Service, and one is what I'm talking with you today about is a map to make sense of our inner psychological world. So that leaflet, or it's just a three pager, but it's a very simple way of explaining what we've just covered today. And that's on our website, www.dcu.ie/counseling. And in due course, this will also be available with other resources on Loop, on that particular platform for students. We're putting up under mental health a whole series of resources that might be helpful for students. And they're all kind of short and brief. So you could just, you know, print them off and have a read. And I suppose what I'm thinking, particularly when we're at an edge, one area that I haven't really covered yet with you is that, you know, when we get frozen, it often lands in our body. So we could be kinking ourselves through the edge, but our body is still frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good to have some breathing techniques. And, you know, there is a breathing technique called 527, where you simply take a few breaths and you breathe in through your nose for the count of five. So you breathe it in and it'll go into your lung chambers, hold it for two, and then you breathe out through your mouth. Right out to the count of seven. So your exhalation is going to be longer than your inhalation. And if you do that three times, so we might do it again, just as we're talking. So we'd breathe in again. Hold for two and then out for seven. Through the mouth. Letting go right out to the in breath. Do you notice any difference?
Yes.
With me, Orla.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Do you notice something? What are you noticing?
I'm very conscious of my breath, and that's the only thing I'm conscious of at the moment. I'm looking at that. It's very relaxing, and it's very calming.
Mm. Yeah. So this brings down the immediate pressure at the edge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the old saying, step back and count to 10.
Oh, yes.
You'd have come across that.
Yes.
It's kind of in that vein. You're just giving yourself a few minutes just to step back, step out of the thing, and take another breath in and out. 2 feet on the ground and saying, bring yourself back into your body. Shoulders down, relax the body. And when you do that, you're helping your body to relax, as you experience there. And that puts in what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. In other words, it eases down our system. And then once you're more eased down in your system, especially in your body, the easier then it goes to when you go back to doing whatever you need to do that a person might have an edge with. It kind of sources a person in the moment. If you're going for an interview, would be another example. You're in the waiting room and you're waiting for your interview, or you're waiting for your interview online. Just give yourself 3 breaths before you start clicking on your Zoom call or going into your interview. Your breath in and out, 2 feet in the ground, and say, this is okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And just soothe your body.
Mm-hmm.
Physiology and our body intelligence can override our thinking. So we might want to do it, but our bodies, if it's not in line with that, if it's not soothed and made comfortable and resourced, make it very difficult to take the next step.
Okay. It sounds so simple, but yet I found it so effective when I did it. And it's brilliant that you can do that anywhere. You know, we don't need anything. We can just take that moment to just concentrate on that and to bring us back down. That's really useful. Thank you, Alina. So, Alina, I'd like to thank you for your time today. And for your input, I found that absolutely fascinating. I will definitely be using that breathing technique the more before I click onto all these Zoom meetings. So thank you so much for your time and your input. And I'm sure if anybody wants more information, they can access the website that you mentioned there as well.
Yeah. So that would be into counselling and personal development. And if students want to email in, they can just email counselling@dcu.ie, or they can spd.counselling@dcu.ie. So we've those two email strings for both Glasnevin and St. Patrick's campus, and then our website, and then also there'll be resources available on Loop for students. So there's a few ways in which a student can access information. If you can't find it on the website or are not too sure about Loop, you can just pop us an email and we'll send you the resources.
Okay, great. Loads of different ways there. Again, thank you. Thank you for your time again, Helena.
My pleasure, Orla.
Lovely to speak to you today.
We hope you've enjoyed these podcasts and that you have found them useful. Remember, here at DCU, this is your Student Advice Centre, and we are here to assist you with any concerns, small or large, during your studies. To learn more information about your Student Advice Centre, please visit www.dcu.ie/advice.